Aren't they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
LFG! Let's get this thing going, okay? And you know exactly what I'm talking about. When's the Warriors opener? When do they start?
Whoa, I thought we were going to talk about it's a Victory Tuesday.
No. When's the Warriors season start? When do they report? That's the only date that matters.
Media Day is Monday, I believe.
Okay, good. Can't wait for Media Day, seeing as this Niner season is over.
Wrong, and this is you just trying to corrupt and co-opt what I said. It's wild card or bust is what it is.
I did not put this in your mouth at all.
It's not a quest for 6. It's a quest for 10 wins. Just get to 10 wins and get in the playoffs. Well, that's all. Because if you get to 10-7,
it may go
and you're
way.
Healthy enough, you might be able to go on a run.
Jimmy Garoppolo's year where he led the touchdown drive in L.A. on the final drive of the season to send the team to the playoffs. Do you remember what their record was?
Was it 10-7?
I believe so.
Okay.
Where'd they end up?
They were 3-5, right?
Yep. And they also ended up with a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of the NFC title game.
How'd that work out for you?
Not great. Okay. Not great. Yeah. Not great.
Bad example.
Jaworski and others. No, not a bad example.
Jaworski. You're so quick to blame Jaworski.
I said and others.
He put himself in position to make a play.
And he didn't. And that is going to forever be at least the lead story of how it fell apart. Not the only story. It's the lead story.
That to me feels like Kyle blowing a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl.
No.
Similarly unfair.
No, look, it's not the only play, but it's the lead story. You can't deny that that's what people remember most in terms of what went wrong in that football game. It's no different than what we're doing this weekend. There were, as you laid out, 27 things that went wrong.
I just laid out 9.
But what are people talking about the most after the game? Ronnie Bell. Now, they're talking about some other things, too, but Ronnie Bell.
Devondre Campbell, yeah, to me, is a bigger issue than Ronnie Bell.
And that's fair as an opinion, but no cubicle yesterday morning had a couple of people talking out the game and going, Devondre Campbell. No, Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell. That's going to be the picture that we can see with our eyes of somebody dropping a football that is going to feel like if you had caught it, you'd have won the game. And maybe they wouldn't have. Maybe Jake Moody would have missed a short kick. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know, but that's going to be the one that plays the same way. Jaworski Tart dropping a ball in the exact same building is going to be sort of what plays there. I'm not putting words in your mouth. In fact, I believe on the very same text thread you keep referring to, I qualified my statement with, I know you guys aren't saying this, but it feels like some people are starting to put a parachute on their back as they get ready to jump off of this season. There's a big but here.
Yeah.
And I know that it's only we're heading into week 4, and nobody would admit to that. Nobody would be like, I'm done with the season, but I'm listening all day. We're talking. And the commentary I hear very much feels like, at a minimum, we've got to adjust our outlook on this whole picture. And I would argue in this moment, not that you're wrong, simply that I'm not there yet. I am not there yet. And to the question of how do you feel, and we can open up the phone lines to this, 888-957-9570. How do you feel now versus how you felt after week 8 last year? That was the end of the 3-game losing streak, and Joe Burrow had just come to Levi's Stadium and thrown nary an incompletion. How do you feel now versus how you felt then? And I would say, while I'll totally buy your injury point as far as why this might feel worse, I give you two things. In one level, I feel very much the same. I feel confused. That's the word I would use. I feel confused as to why the defense looks the way it does. And I feel better this time around from the standpoint that there's a hell of a lot more time left. Now, your record is worse, 1-2 versus 5-3. But there is a hell of a lot of time left. They were 5-3 after 8 games last year. For all we know, they're going to be 6-2 this year. I doubt it, but we don't know that they're not.
Of course, they're allowed to be, to use your words.
And Jordan Elliott is allowed to be good at football.
They can also be 1-2-4 after 7 games. I mean, and odds are not great.
1-2-4?
Yeah, they could tie the next four games.
They could tie the next four games.
Which is highly unlikely.
It's allowed.
Yeah, it's all allowed. But I look at where they are now versus where they were going into a bye after 3 straight losses with a team that was almost completely healthy, or at the very least, getting healthy, and Trent and Debo were getting better, and they were going to come out of the bye and be healthy. This team is not healthy. And in fact, they're trending toward being, I don't know about less healthy, but where they are health-wise right now is a lot more troubling than where it was last year when they were 5-3. You've got your number one running back who is yet to play a snap in Germany. He has to go to Germany to get treatment that is not available here because he thinks that that's actually going to work. And you know what? It might work.
It might.
And you never know. You've got George Kittle, who was out, and we don't know his status. We won't know till tomorrow when they go back to practice. And Debo won't play this Sunday. We do know that. He's out for 2 games. And your quarterback has a bit of a back issue, not an injury, an issue, a sore back.
We won't know till tomorrow if that's like a thing or not. He's day-to-day.
It was mentioned.
Yeah. But like if he practices tomorrow, well, then whatever.
Fine.
Whatever.
Yeah.
A football player is sore. If he doesn't practice tomorrow, we'll know that there's an injury.
But how many other players were sore that did not get mentioned? I would guess probably 40. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So his soreness was mentioned. So I look at the injury part of it now compared to then, and I'm a lot more worried about that factor, only that factor, than I was last year.
I will not argue against you if your answer is that you feel much worse this time around. But I think it's a fair comparison because the majority of your answers, if you feel worse now, I'd argue it's likely because of what you just said, health. And what do we keep learning every year in sports? Be healthy at the end. I don't necessarily need you to be healthy at the beginning unless the beginning craters everything so bad that your end doesn't matter. And is that possible? Sure, it's possible. We've seen that before. Whether it's health for good reasons or bad reasons, I keep using the Warriors as an example. You know, players needed to be available who weren't available. Draymond Green. And then you get to the end and you're like, all right, we're at full strength. It's like, yeah, but it's too late. You've put yourself in a position that's too difficult to crawl out of. You could argue that that happened with the Giants, although I just don't think they were very good. But that's often the story when a season filled with expectations doesn't go well. A bunch of things that you didn't see coming happened early. You weren't able to crawl out of the hole that was created. A little hole has been created here. It's just not a big one yet. It's not a big one yet, and all the injured people are totally allowed to be healthy. What do you feel if by week 5, Debo is available, George is available, that's definitely possible. Brandon Ayuk starting to look like himself. Obviously, Christian's not going to be ready. Who knows? Maybe we get a Ricky Pearsall appearance before then. Maybe we get an update that Dre Greenlaw is trending toward playing by week 10 or what have you. And let's say you get, I don't know, 3 wins out of the next 4. What if you beat the Patriots, the Cardinals, and the Cowboys? I'll bake in a loss to the Chiefs, even though I think that's far from assured.
You don't beat the Chiefs, so I would go ahead and put that one in the oven. Yeah,
you're allowed to.
I would go ahead and put that one in the oven.
I mean,
you're 1-2. You got 5 games before your bye, and you know it feels to me like 4-4 going in would be. Yeah, you'd feel pretty good about that. If you were able to win 3 of the next 5, you'd feel good about that.
Well, I guess. Yeah.
You got a short week against Seattle on the road, And I know they have a short week as well. And you've got rest disadvantages against Kansas City and Dallas. And I know Dallas, everyone wants to bury Dallas again because that's what we do. But the schedule from here is not, after New England, the schedule is not easy.
No, the NFL's not easy. Right. I don't know that there's a, quote, easy stretch on the schedule at all the rest of the way.
It was L.A. and New England.
Yeah.
That was the easy stretch.
Do you see an easy stretch? If I were to see one right now, it would be, and this is totally irrelevant, because I don't know who's playing or what the hell's happening, but 2.5 months from now, there's a 3-game stretch in December where the Niners will host the Bears, the Rams, and then go on the road to Miami just before Christmas. Don't know if Tua's going to play. Maybe that's going to be easy. Maybe it won't. Maybe the Niners will be the one seed by then. Maybe they'll be eliminated.
The one seed. That's hilarious.
Might not lose between now and then. They're allowed to. It's within the rules.
Are you hearing him?
I just checked it.
No, they're allowed to.
Well, okay. Actually, I got the perfect rebuttal for what you're saying.
Let's bring it.
Go ahead and give me the blue sky, unrealistic.
My God, the red and gold pom-poms.
Not at all. I didn't say they're going to. I'm saying you don't know that they won't.
Yeah.
And I can prove it. We're sponsored by Lucky California. How do you feel now versus how you felt after week 8 and the 3-game losing streak last year? Let's take your calls. 888-957-9570. Oh, by the way, in 45 minutes, TJ Hujamama.
Mm.
TJ Hushmanzada will be on the show. Doc Pandy at 4 with stories of Germany. It's going to be a great day. Let's do this damn thing on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer here on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
Let me be very clear.
I love that man more and more every time I hear that.
And it won't work. I know it won't work.
Do you have to be a homer?
Yeah. But not in this particular case.
I feel like our show should be called The Simpsons, and I'll do the show as Marge.
Okay.
Because you're Homer.
That's fine.
Lucas would be Bart, and Mark Grandy would be Lisa.
One of my favorite things, there's two things.
Brilliant yet annoying.
There's two things.
There's five.
There's two criticisms that I hear.
Yep.
That don't bother me, even though when people give them to me, they think that it's like, oh, it's going to get under his skin.
I've tried to hit you with that for years.
Yeah. He's a homer.
It's like, homie.
You all are. We all are.
Wait, what?
You all are.
I'm fair and balanced.
No, everybody processes that idea in a different way. Like, some of you want to fire Kyle Shanahan and think Brock Purdy's a joke. And I would argue that that's coming from your homer emotion. Is because you want them to be so good that you process it that way. That's how you process what you're watching, which is, in my opinion, unarguable positive. Unarguably positive. Like Kyle Shanahan's regime with the Niners, you can't look at 6 years and be like, this has sucked. Like, that's not an opinion. And if you think, oh gosh, you should have move on from Shanahan. He's overrated. Why do they keep calling him a genius? It's like, I don't know who called him a genius. He does not have a poster on his wall that says I'm a genius.
You don't know that.
I don't know that, although I've been accused of living at his house before.
Right.
Like, for you to think that's coming from emotion. It's just like, why do you fight with your partner? Why do you fight with your partner?
Because I'm stupid.
Well, okay. Well, all men are. So, okay.
Because I get tired of saying, you were right, honey. Yes, dear.
Whatever. But the point is that in somewhere in there is that you care. I ain't fighting with someone I don't give a crap about. That's why I'm not like screaming at the text line all day. I don't even know who you are. Why would I get triggered over an opinion from Joe in Santa Clara? And for everybody named Joe who's driving around in Santa Clara, I don't mean you. This is just the name that came to my mind. You know what I mean?
That's where the YouTube feed is different, because we've actually met these people.
That's true.
And I took a shot at San Jose Jazz fan in person.
You did?
I apologize.
He's the best.
I told him that if we did a Last Supper portrait of the YouTube audience, he would be Judas. It was a little bit out of bounds, and actually, I apologize.
It's funny that you just brought him up, because he literally just wrote on the YouTube feed, Willard just called us stupid. No, I didn't.
Yep.
I just...
That was Steiny, by the way.
Yeah, what I...
At the Red and Gold Summit.
Yeah, he said you don't matter. he dismissed your existence.
It is funny.
It is. I didn't say that. What I said is that you can't get under my skin with your criticisms. I hope that that goes both ways. So, like... We don't all know each other. I don't live with any of you. I'm not inviting you to the wedding. There isn't a wedding yet. Don't worry. Yet.
Whoa.
Don't worry.
And I...
Just... Yeah. Like, okay. But you
I'll
know
save that for
you
Friday and what's bugging me.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's bugging you?
Well, remember last week, Guru was ranting about the Stephen Langford wedding?
Yeah.
Come to find out that Butcher and Bonte and Spadoni and Lubman, they all went.
Oh, so, I didn't even know that it had happened yet.
I went too.
Oh.
It was great. Really fun time.
You were an accidental invite. You were the alternate alternate.
Before he left here, did he or did he not work in the morning? Those were his people every day.
Before he left here.
I know you made him.
Thank you.
I know.
Thank you.
I don't even know that. I just know you're about to say that.
It's a fact.
I know you made him.
Jesus.
I know you went into the lab.
I'll save it for Friday.
Anyway.
Yes.
Here's my other favorite one.
Go ahead.
Willard, you think you're always right. So do all of you. Who the hell wakes up in the morning and goes, I got an idea. Gonna head out and start telling people a bunch of stuff I think is wrong. Who does that? So, guilty. You're right. I do think I'm right.
But what's your winning percentage?
Not 100%.
Exactly.
Like and fully willing to admit that. Farhan Zaidi, my parlay last night. And,
oh, that's so sweet. And, I hope you cut the tape of him laughing at me during Fade the Dimmer.
Of course I laugh at you. That's what I do. I'm paid to do that. You didn't even know that it's in the contract.
Yeah, I hope you cut the tape. You didn't, because all y'all lost trying to fade the Dimmers.
They laughed at you, too. Their mics just weren't on.
Yeah.
You can't see them.
I did not fade you last night.
And you did not cut the tape.
But you laughed correct. At him.
You should have.
I saw
liked
you
your
laughing.
Picks, Dibs.
No,
we
you
liked
didn't.
Them. Liar.
The second that you gave the picks out, Lucas was like, dang, that's what I would have picked today.
Liar!
No, I guarantee you that's what he said.
I wish you weren't the a liar. Picks. Whatever, I'm 6-4, but go ahead.
Yeah,
I didn't
I like
mean to.
Pick.
No, that's all. That's
I like
all
the
I wanted
player.
To say.
Thank
I'm good. We're straight. I'm good.
No, we're great.
That's it.
And, yes.
Oh, I know what the whole point of this was.
You think that they're going to go 15-2 is the whole point.
I don't. And I don't want to dismiss any of your concerns, because I think I stated very clearly yesterday, I have them too. Hell, you sat here and asked for rankings on some of the concerns, and I was the only one in the room to give you a 10 on anything.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Well, Guru gave one an 11. But I gave you a 10 on Nick Sorensen.
Yep.
I don't think that you're wrong if you're concerned. I just don't think that you're proven right yet either. Like, it sounds to me if you closed your eyes, if you landed here from Mars and you just listened to Niner Fan today, I'd argue you would think that it's much further into the season than it is.
Yes. And
that's my point.
I will lean on Vegas to refute, but also bolster your point, because preseason, the 49ers were -190. To win the NFC West, which means you had to bet $190 to win $100.
Okay.
That was before the year. Now, as it sits, well, they're still the favorites. They are still the favorites.
There you go.
And depending on where you shop, if you go to DraftKings, they're -105, which means bet $105 to win $100. And Seattle is the second choice at +190. So the Niners, even though they've got 9 concerns, according to my text thread, and I did a batting order of concerns, and I didn't order them 1-9 like a batting order would be. Maybe we can do that later in the show, but the Niners, according to every shop you want to find, ESPN Bet, DraftKings, FanDuel, Bally, Overseas, Argentina, Offshore, the Niners are still the favorite to win the NFC West,
yes.
Even though they're 2 games out with 14 to go. Right.
2 games out with 14
to go. So, including 5 more head-to-heads with the other teams in the division. And actually, Arizona is the third choice. And then the Rams are still the long shot at +800 at most shops. So, I'm not saying that they can't still possibly win the division, but my expectations have been recalibrated. To think about them being the number one overall seed in the NFC right now is not something that I think is very likely.
Well, it's never likely. There's only one of them. Yeah, I agree with you that it's not likely. I'd actually argue that it was not likely before the season. Less than 50-50 proposition when everybody was 0-0.
But most likely, if you think about them versus the other teams.
Yes, that I agree with, and I'd still put them in the top five. Like, okay, let's, and this is going to sound like cherry picking, but it's real, in my opinion. Seattle's 3-0. Can you name the three quarterbacks that they have beaten, two of them narrowly by one score, the three quarterbacks that the Seahawks have beaten to achieve their sparkly 3-0 record?
Well, they beat Tua in Miami.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, that's right. He was hurt.
Skylar Thompson / Tim Boyle. Go on to the next.
Yeah, Timmy played pretty well.
He did, didn't
Skylar got sacked five times.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at the schedule to see who they beat. Well, they beat the Patriots, and that was Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett by three in overtime, and that was their only road game, and you saw what the Patriots offense looked like last Thursday.
And they beat a rookie making his first career start, Bo Nix.
Correct. At home, one of the hardest places to play in the NFL. So that's not to dismiss it. The NFL's hard. When you win games, you get credit. And yes, I thought before the year started that Seattle was a solid team and potentially a playoff team in the NFC. However, I'm going to stop short of, whoa, Seattle's 3-0. They have beaten Bo Nix, Jacoby Brissett, and Skylar Thompson. They will visit Detroit on Monday night. Spoiler alert.
Oh, I don't want your pick. You're running cold right now.
They're going to get their butts kicked. Brother, I was going to pick against you last night, no matter what the hell you said.
Yeah.
You could have been like, I think the sun's going to come up tomorrow. And I'd have been like,
Fade the Dipper. There you go.
Fade the Dippers.
Anyway. Niners currently are minus 210. Bet 210 to win 100 on will they make the playoffs, yes or no?
Yeah, so like a heavy favorite.
Heavy.
Heavy favorite. Okay.
Yeah. Philadelphia is minus 470.
Like, I know it's not fun to be like, I won't say this. I will not use this. I will not say this today. Now we got to wait and see. I won't say that. That's lame. We're here. What I'm trying to do is stay right here. I don't want to wait and see. Like, play New England. Let's see if Debo comes back. Let's see if George comes back. Let's see if the defensive staff can make an adjustment. Like, I'm not going to tell you wait and see over the next 2 months. I'm telling you that this changes every week. And it's funny to me that you would sit here in week three and be like, well, this is not what I thought it was. I'd argue none of it is. Like I said, you can't stay in a survivor pool because the top favorites every week in the NFL so far have gotten their butt kicked. All of them. The top survivor picks of this last week were the 49ers, the Tampa Bay Bucks, the Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals. What do they all have in common?
Did they all lose?
They all lost.
Yeah.
All of them. They all lost. So, anyway, this is going to change. However you feel right now, it's going to change.
It always does.
It's going to change.
But the way that this looks, as far as the changes go, does not look good. And you mentioned last year after week eight, and we can go to the phones on what you think now versus what you thought then. Then, even though they had lost three in a row, things were trending in the right way. You had finally reached the bye, and you were getting healthy. This is, you've played three games. Your defensive coordinator is being called into question. Your highly newly paid wide receiver does not look good. Your other receiver can't get on the field. Right. Your tight end is hurt. Your running back is in Europe. And we could go through all the rest of it. So as far as like what's trending, where's the arrow right now for this Niner team? Forget the schedule. Because going into this Sunday, yes, the arrow is up because New England is terrible. They're one of the three worst teams in football. But where's the overall arrow for this team at 1-2 versus where it was then.
Well, I mean,
the arrow is down.
Your stock is down. I don't know where the arrow points, because they are going to, in theory, have the chance to get healthier over the next couple of weeks. Like, go back to your statement about going into the bye last year, they were getting healthier. Well, hold on a second. Forget about the offense. The offense was not great for 3 weeks. Trent Williams and Debo were out. But let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about Kirk Cousins and Joe Burrow literally only incompleting passes when their receivers dropped the ball. The two quarterbacks were phenomenal. And defensively, who was hurt?
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody.
The coordinator, but...
Nobody was hurt.
Right.
So they weren't getting healthier.
The offense was getting healthier.
Yes.
And that's the point. The team was still healthier than they are now.
But we're talking about the defense. The defense right now is people's bigger concern. And for me, was actually the bigger concern then. For the reason that you're detailing, the offense, it was obvious. They were hurt, and Brock is still younger than he is now, and they were not performing very well. But the defense, I was confused. Why did they look the way they look? They're fully healthy, and they're getting run on, and they can't create an incomplete pass. I was scratching my head, the same way I am right now.
Right, so compare that defense to this defense. The defense after week 8, when they allowed Burrow and Cousins to carve you up, and the Browns game is different. You probably should have won that game had Jake Moody.
Yeah, you should
have. Spoiler alert, Jake Moody just missed a kick a couple of days ago, so that's still a thing. But Moody is probably still the same Moody that he was, but the defense then versus the defense now, which is more troubling?
Well, I would argue, I would argue that one. This one,
yeah, I would
this
not.
This one's troubling because there's an injury that you're like not sure how they're going to replace. But that gives me a reason. Like, I look at this defense and I go, oh, well, Dre Greenlaw's out. And maybe he will be out the whole time or not perform well, but maybe he won't. Maybe he's going to be back by week 9.
And that is just, for me, that is crazily aggressive.
That's exactly what they were. That's been the optimistic hope.
Week 9. So you're talking about 6 weeks.
Midseason is what we were told.
Midseason is a very general way to say it, but
9-ish.
Okay, you're looking for a guy coming off a ruptured Achilles to come back in 8 months? 9 months? That seems aggressive to me.
Week,
so the Super Bowl was about February 10th.
Your bye week is actually your bye. Oh, hang on. I'm looking.
November 10th would be the game that you have coming out of the bye.
Okay.
That would be 9 months removed from an Achilles. That would mean that 3 weeks before that, he's back and ramping up. For me, it seems like he might be able to come back to practice November 10th,
maybe,
and then play in early December.
We'll get another update from Doc in an hour.
And then that to me is, I don't know, if we're pinning our hopes on that,
it's not
then
pinning
we're looking
hopes.
At, it's well, what are we doing then? Because you've got Devondre Campbell at linebacker who is, he's atrocious. And you got D. Winters who had an ankle injury and he re-injured his ankle.
Yes.
So we don't know if he's going to be able to play again on Sunday.
But maybe he will.
You had Demetrius Flanagan Fowles playing linebacker, falling down, getting eaten by the turf monster.
Yeah, but 2 weeks ago, he got an interception on Aaron Rodgers.
He sure did.
Yeah, I know that it was caused by someone else.
Right, that was an, oh my God, looky here.
Listen.
That was like when you go trick-or-treating and the nice lady gives you 17 candies and you go, whoa. This is a good Halloween.
You only get 17 candies when the nice lady's not home and she leaves that bowl out front.
That's
you
us.
You just go pour the whole thing into your pillowcase. Again, I'm not here to dismiss your concerns. I'm here to tell you that the storyline going forward is very much multiple choice. These things that I'm talking about could happen. They could happen. You don't know if D. Winters is going to end up stealing that job. You don't know how Jordan Elliott is going to perform. You don't know when Dre Greenlaw is going to get back. You don't know when this defensive staff is going to make adjustments. Or, by the way, the defensive staff might get adjusted itself. You don't know because we didn't know after week 8 last year. And you may forget, we were surprised when they came out in Jacksonville and completely, seemingly ruined Trevor Lawrence's career. Because they came in, Jacksonville, first place club coming off a bye. They were scary. I don't know if they've moved the ball since.
Right.
So That's all I'm saying, man. Well, that's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying
is there are scenarios that can still play in their favor.
There's also scenarios that can play not in their favor,
such as
Christian McCaffrey doesn't play ever this season, and Dre Greenlaw does not make it back from an injury that can take up to 12 months to recover from, and you know, your defensive line does not replace Javon Hargrave, and Brandon Ayuk decides that I'm comfy cozy with my contract, and I don't really want to go out there and ball so hard as I used to, and my thin running back room could get thinner, and your other wide receiver who's been out, and he's out again this week,
wow,
maybe he doesn't return. And George Kittle, an older player who's hurt, maybe he doesn't return. So as much as you want to paint the what-if positive, for me, the what-if negative is equally in play.
Well, of course it is.
Right.
But who thinks about life that way?
I don't think of it that way, but
goodness.
I'm just trying to be fair and balanced here.
Well, but like, I mean, if you're going to do someone could get hurt, like, that's true for every single player.
No, I'm doing someone already is hurt. That's what I'm doing.
Right, like, and I'd much rather they're hurt now than 3 months from now.
But hurt now does not mean healthy later automatically.
No, it doesn't. But, like, I feel like we're cruising around with the assumption now that it does mean that they're hurt later. And it doesn't. Christian McCaffrey, very well, might be good to go by week 9/10.
Wow.
That's what the data says.
Week 9/10.
Yes, after the bye.
I mean,
that's right now. If you want sort of like if you're Vegas and you're setting the over-under, that's your line. Let that sink in.
So he'll miss 5 more games.
Yes.
He'll miss 8 games.
Yes.
And then he'll come back week 10 and he'll be...
Maybe.
And he'll be...
What? He will start to be a version of Christian McCaffrey, and hopefully within 2 weeks he's Christian McCaffrey,
yeah,
and then you've got 6 or 7 games left in the season to make a run. And you're not, like, hell-bent on losing all the games between now and then.
Of course
Jordan
not.
Jordan Mason looks great.
He does. But your offense is definitely different than it was when Christian McCaffrey was on the field, and you don't have the same ability to throw it to a running back and... You know, your offense is totally different without Christian McCaffrey.
And to me,
to my eyes,
still very effective enough if your defense is playing well, which right now it's not.
Well, against a Ram team whose defense is not very good.
Yeah, and that's fair.
Like,
that's
the Patriots'
comment.
Defense is better than the Rams' defense.
Better, but this is what, look, it always goes week to week. It always goes week to week. The Broncos were a joke. A joke, and the Bucs defense was amazing, and then they played each other. They could not stop the Broncos for one drive. How the hell did that happen?
It's football, man.
It's week to week, brother.
Yep.
It's week to week. Chris in San Jose. Hey, Chris, jump on in here. What's going on, man? Thanks for calling.
What's going on, gentlemen? Marky Mark.
Come on, Chris.
What are we gonna do with you, brother? Listen, I don't want to get on you here, but you asked the question, okay? You asked the question, then you went into a bunch of hypotheticals, you did your devil's advocate thing. It's your show, I respect it, but I want to ask you, Mark Willard, do you feel better, the same, or worse now than you did in relation to last year on week 8? Mark, you have the floor.
Slightly worse.
That's all I wanted to hear.
Slightly worse.
Because I hear what you're saying. It's a week-to-week league. You never know. But you can't sit there and tell me that you feel the same or better. There's no chance.
And I didn't, Chris.
I agreed.
Okay.
I just want to lay a couple extra things out there for you. Last year, they had 5 wins in the bank, right? They're 5-0. We're feeling good. We're looking around the NFC. You go on a 3-game skid. You know, we can justify that. All right, we got to figure out the young quarterback. Maybe he's not it. Well, he clearly is. You know, Trent's missing, Debo's out. All right, whatever. But now we're talking about we're missing a lot of guys, but we're currently 0-1 against likely the worst team in the division, possibly one of the worst teams in the NFC. So I mean, for any fan to sit there and try to rationalize or justify.
No. And Chris, we got to run. Nothing I said says that Sunday was okay. And I think I made myself very clear yesterday. That was awful. That was one of the worst losses in the Shanahan era. Period. End of conversation. I just think we're social media-fying all of this, which is to take one game and now project it over the whole season. And that's what we do also. And I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More of your phone calls around the bend, and TJ Hushmanzada in 20 minutes on Willard and Dibs.